For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show with me, Caroline Barker. Back in Non-League's most coveted seat, ready to make you. I'm supposed to say take you, but I will make you sit through the next half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour or so. My thanks to Tim Fuel, who is still lurking in the background, you're here. To Swampy and to Dave Anson for holding the fort over the last 4 weeks, where I've been sat in the corner, rocking over Chelmsford City's demise. From National South champions to, I think we're about 25th in the table now. We'll still go on and win it. Swampy is still here. Dave Anson's bailed out to do some proper work. And Tim, as I said, is lurking in the background. Afternoon, Swampy.
Good afternoon, Caroline. Good afternoon, Tim.
Yeah, he's not going to answer. I've told him to be a silent partner.
I know. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Was that you just being polite?
Yes, of course it was. Yes, it's nice to have you back, Caroline.
Is it? Because it started so well. Hey, talking of having back, I don't know if you've just seen the news that former Luton and Cambridge boss Richard Money has gone to Solihull Moors, so he's back in the non-league game.
Well, yeah, the Solihull. I mean, I've actually in my notes. I had Solihull Moors manager had just decided that he wanted to take the club any further because of the situation they're in there. Bottom half of the division, right at the bottom, in fact. Money. I know he was in for the job at Chester a couple of weeks ago that Marcus Bignott ended up taking. It'll be a good acquisition for Solihull, I would have thought, and they can build on the foundations that Marcus left that club at the moment, as you say, though.
Got the credibility, hasn't he? As in having been there and done that before. And he says that Solihull have got, maybe he's not saying about loads of money, but that they have ambition, at least to try and do better than they have been. I feel for Liam McDonald, though, because he was only in his early 30s, wasn't he? And if you find yourself in that situation down the bottom, it's difficult when you're so early in your career.
It is difficult, but, I mean, you gain experience from, good times, bad times within football. And, it'll be a good learning curve for him, and I'm sure he'll come back a stronger manager. And at the end of the day, there's very, very few managers that are in a job for life. So it comes part of the territory, and I think managers know when the right time to leave. I mean, I was listening to the manager from Sheffield FC a couple of weeks ago. Loves the football club dearly. Thought it was the right time to move on because he wanted the club to succeed. So, I think managers themselves know when the right time, and, someone else comes in and hopefully Solihull can climb up the table.
Sheffield's birthday this month. Not the whole of Sheffield, but Sheffield FC. So we'll celebrate with them. And no doubt we'll hear from Richard Money. He gives good headlines. So hopefully we'll speak to him over the next few months or so. A few weeks, if not the next few months.
Of course,
months, yeah. I'm sure we'll get going up.
Another manager, though, that's just left. That's Gateshead manager, isn't it? Neil Aspin. He was number two there. He's just joined Port Vale. So, again, the quality of managers within semi-professional football is there for all to see because, Neil Aspin has a good track record. But going to another league club, again, just shows that that managers in the lower leagues of semi-professional football can, move further on as players do.
I don't know whether that was my end or yours, but I think you said track record, but it came out as the CRAP record when your Skype caught up with yourself. So that I know you meant good track record as opposed to crack record.
I did, yes.
How it came out. That was perfect timing. I see some things never change. Neil Aspin, as you mentioned as well, moving on. And Richard Money had come down from... He was involved in Norwich at their academy level. So interesting to see, like you say, those coaches within the game. Now, let's reflect on some of the things I may have missed. I haven't missed them because I've been listening to you intently. I need some way to get off to sleep. Should we talk about the FA Cup?
Why not? Why not indeed?
Mainly because you, Swampy, of FC United of Manchester Radio, what a, as the Americans say, game you had to call in the FA Cup. At least the first match. Talk us through it briefly. At least talk us up to 3-3.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, the first match, we Edgeley Park in front of over 3,000 supporters, 800 FC supporters turn up on a very wet, blustery afternoon at Edgeley Park. Great atmosphere.
So playing Stockport.
Stockport County. And, Jim Gannon got his tactics completely right in the first 45 minutes. They went 3-0 up. They were convincingly the better team. They got an injury to their centre forward. So in the second half, they just changed things around. But FC United obviously had things to change, and they just changed it. And Carl admitted himself, he just threw three players on to see if anything could happen. And the person we're going to be speaking to shortly, well, he came on together with a centre half and a left winger, and he helped create the first. He scored the second, and he got FC United a penalty with about 8 minutes to go, and the game finished 3-3. So it was absolutely outstanding from an FC perspective. The Stockport County supporters, Jim Gannon himself, I don't think could actually quite believe what was happening. And as you say, we moved on to Tuesday, and that's what we're about to talk about, I think.
Well, shall we? In the company of a man who already has legendary status at FC United, Tom Greaves, who joins us on the line. Hiya, Tom.
Hiya, you okay?
Yeah, what about you?
Legs are still a little bit tired from Tuesday night, but I'm all good, yeah.
Well, before we get to Tuesday then, that first game, that 3-3 down to 9 men before half-time, what was that like? The 3-3 the first game. We'll get to that one first.
Yeah, I mean, we came in at half-time, obviously 3-0 down, but nobody thought the game was dead and gone. And obviously, made the three substitutions. And we've basically gone for it and taken the game to them. And obviously got our reward, yeah.
And then you move on to Tuesday night, and that's the match where you ended up with 9 men.
Yeah, completely different game. 0-0 at half-time, but we'd unfortunately lost two players, two red cards. One maybe a little bit dubious with the straight red, but the other one, double booking, probably deserved to go, to be honest, and he'll probably admit that himself. But again, we came in at half time and none of the lads were thinking we were out of the game or anything like that, and we knew that if we again took it to them, then they'd have to come up with something, and we obviously managed to nick a goal and then defended for our lives.
What was that half time conversation like? I'm saying conversation.
The lads that had been sent off basically held their hands up and said they'd made the mistakes, which is fair enough, and credit to them for doing that. But it was very positive. We knew we were still in the game. We didn't think we were dead and buried. I don't think Stockport looked as confident as what you would think with two extra players. So we just went out there and knew that potentially we could be the shock of the round, so to speak, now.
For you as well to get that goal, where does that rank in your... Is it 96 goals for FC United now?
Yeah, 96, yeah. Closing down on that 100. Yeah, it's right up there. My debut goal was very special. But yeah, it's got to be in the top 2 or 3, I think, yeah.
Swampy, what did that moment sound like for you? What came out of your mouth then?
It was loud, it was noisy, it was predictably a Swampy moment of madness with a calm of just me realising that we'd actually scored the goal. Tom underestimates it himself week in, week out. I mean, the work rate that he puts in, and certainly on Tuesday that showed, I'm sure you won't mind me saying, he's under 32 years of age now. But 96 goals for FC United of Manchester, and to nick the goal that we did in as early on as 6 minutes into the second half, it stunned Stockport County even more. They went on and had 15 corners in that second half, but they just could not get past the defensive duties of all players, Tom included, back defending tremendously well. But you hit the crossbar and a great save from their goalkeeper as well. So it wasn't a fluke in any way, shape or form. And it certainly is down to the qualities of the players on the pitch, of which Tom was a massively instrumental part in that, and scoring a cracking goal.
Don't forget, third qualifier round of the Emirates FA Cup replay here at Broadhurst Park. Wherever you are around the world, good afternoon, good evening, good morning and welcome. As always, FC Live bringing you all the action here. That's supposed to be for beer, but it's not for me. I'm drinking beer and just not eating that kind of food. But anyway, great effort there. Corner comes in. Who's on the end of it?
Yeah.
Free head opportunity. Yes. Oh! FC have taken the lead. Tom Greaves, a static defence from Stockport County, and the crowd go absolutely wild. And Tom Greaves is running the goalkeeper where he scores, and FC United take a lead that no one would have predicted. But Stockport County, as I say, they have looked so
under the cosh in so many regards, done all the work, undone everything themselves, and FC take a lead.
And Tom Greaves, 6 yard man, he's there again, little touch on the ball, he couldn't clear it.
You know what, I think I'll have a chip.
Tom, anyone that listens to Swampy and co will know the nerves that goes through them. Was there a point at which you clicked and you thought, hang on, we have got this, we will see this one out?
To be honest, when I was on the pitch, I was never worried that they was going to score, to be honest. It wasn't until I got subbed off in about 5 minutes to go, and then my nerves kicked in, I started shaking, I'm thinking, oh no, just blow your whistle, referee. So on the pitch, the lads were just focused and I knew the job that we had to do.
So AFC Telford in the next round. Again, another of those teams that great support, proper grafting team as well. What do you expect?
To be honest, I think it's been one of our bogey grounds. I don't think I've actually personally ever won at Telford. So again, it's just we'll go there, we'll take the game to them. There's a new confidence around the place, I think, at the minute. I think the fans are starting to get the buzz back again. The lads are all starting to get to know each other. It's pretty much a brand new team. Just getting that FC United feeling back again.
How tough was it? Because I know we've kind of ridden it through with Swampy telling us about the down days of getting new players in and trying to sort things. And you yourself, sent out on loan, could have been sent out, and I could have missed that game.
Yeah, there was big changes in the summer, and it's obviously sad to see some of your close friends go that have been there for, like myself, a good 3, 4, 5 seasons. So it was big changes, but when we first got back in pre-season, I was confident with the lads that Maggie had brought in. So it's just taken a little bit of time for the squad to gel. For myself, I've obviously found myself out of the team a little bit. Jason Gilchrist's been playing the number 9, and you can't fault the lad. He's great work rate. He's a great finisher. So I've no complaints there with that. It was just a case of me wanting to go somewhere and get some games to basically win my shirt back and get the chance to go break that goal record.
Now just 4 away from the 100. No pressure, eh, Swampy?
No, not at all. But listen, Tom, just a couple of things really I want to ask you. I know as a footballer, you're very magnanimous and, you know, shy away from the limelight, so to speak. But with the dual registration, did it hurt really as a player being sent out? I mean, I know you've only played one game for Ramsbottom at this moment in time. But did it hurt you? Did it hurt your pride a little bit? Or did you think it was the right thing to do? And the next question would be is, and dare I ask this, where are you playing this Saturday? Are you playing for FC or are you playing for Ramsbottom?
At the minute, I don't actually know. At Ramsbottom have got the FA Trophy, so I wouldn't like to be cup tied for that for FC. So I'm hoping to be with FC. But we'll see. We've got training tonight, so I'll have the conversation with Carl and we'll go from there. Regarding the move initially, no, it's not hurt any of my pride or anything like that. I don't think it's any secret that everybody knows where I want to be playing my football. And I knew personally that I couldn't give the manager, the team, the fans my 100% if I wasn't match fit and match sharp. Obviously, when I've had the conversation with him, I'm hoping that he says, right, you're going to be playing anyway, so you don't need to go anywhere. You're going to get your minutes with us. But that wasn't the case. Jason's been playing well and scoring, so I couldn't grumble with that. So it was me that went to Carl and asked basically to go out and get some games. And it was Ramsbottom because of the lads I know there.
Of course.
Been great.
Well, talking of managers, my last question would be, you're 32 years of age now. I know you've got a lot of football left in you. But I know you run a coaching. You've taken time out actually off your coaching this afternoon to talk to us. I mean, is management that something that interests you, or you know, player management or getting involved? I know you're doing your badges and so on and so forth. Is that something that you want to do long term, perhaps with FC United under Carl or at another club?
Yeah, I'm definitely the type of person who would regret not giving something a go, so I don't know whether I'll be a good manager. I don't know whether I've got that side in me, but if I didn't give it a go, then I would be disappointed in myself. So yeah, it's something that I will look to do. Like I say, hopefully, I think I've got a couple more years left in these legs yet, but yeah, definitely something that I would look into in the future.
Well, Tom, it's been a real pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on hitting that 100. I'm sure you'll get it with FC United. But fingers Thank crossed whatever much. Happens in the future. Good luck in the next round.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Tom.
Cheers, Tom. Tom Greaves. Is it too easy to say a legend at FC United? I mean, I like to use that word a lot, Swampy, but he's certainly been appreciated, hasn't he?
He's massively appreciated. Let's not forget, he was a player whilst playing for Bradford Park Avenue that brought FC Hearts in the playoff final and scored in the last second of extra time. And Bradford Park Avenue was promoted and FC United stayed in the same division, the Northern Premier League. And luckily enough, a season and a half later, we ended up actually bringing him to FC United of Manchester. No, he's a top draw player. He talks very well. He knows the game. He reads the game. You know, and as a player, he is a kind of... Because we've got a young squad now. He's the elder statesman and we definitely need him there. We've seen it in the last two games. I mean, you know, he came on, as I say, against Stockport County in the second half, scored, got a penalty, created another goal. He scores the winner against County. But he gives you 100%. And it's not only on the pitch, it's the amount of work that he does off the pitch as well. I mean, he is the one player out of all of them that really spends pretty, you know, when the players have gone down the tunnel, he's still there talking to supporters. He really is. He's one of those key elements that make FC United quite special. And we've had a few of them over the seasons, and he's one of those that will be remembered for a long, long time. And the reason why I asked him about management was because FC supporters are asking that very same question at this moment in time, because he hasn't been playing. That don't want to lose him. They're thinking, can he come inside and work within the new management, with the management structure as a player and getting his badges? So it's good to see that he is looking to do that and progress himself. But top draw lad, very, very humble. And as I say, and he's got two of the nicest grandparents, grandmothers that I've met a couple of years ago, both in their 70s. I think they were maybe even in their 80s. And by yet, they don't half love the football, that family.
You are listening to the FC United of Manchester radio show. It's not, of course. We're going to step away from the FA Cup, but we will get FA Cup fact file on, whose facts have been everywhere, have Phil Annette's, this week and over the past few weeks as well. Good to see people picking those up too. But it is this weekend, non-league day. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Good to see Manchester City supporting it so well, although I did think that irked some of those at Salford that they didn't get a mention in their list of games that they should go to. You might have seen that on social media. We've spoken already about Liam McDonald leaving Solihull, about Richard Money going in, Neil Aspin stepping up into the Football League to lead his former club at Port Vale. So lots more besides happening, including a favourite, a former show favourite. He's still a favourite of mine from his time on air with us. Mick Catlin going back to Gosport Borough, where he was for so long an assistant manager there. Hoping to bring back some of that success again. And he joins us now. Hiya, Mick.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, you're still my favourite, Mick. Don't let anyone else.
Good to hear.
Did you have to scratch your head for a long time before going back? Or was it quite a quick decision?
It was quite a difficult decision because I've been assistant manager stroke coach at Moneyfields in the league below since pre-season, and we're unbeaten in the league and going really well, and I was enjoying it. And then obviously Alex got the sack a couple of weeks ago, and I was asked to apply for the job and have an interview, and sort of the heartstrings got pulled a little bit because I'd spent so long at the club and it was in, you know, it wasn't in the best of shape, and I felt, you know, I was probably the best suited to go back and try and get it going again, really. And I wanted to be a manager in my own right again after some time being Alex's assistant, and I just felt the time was right to really give it a go.
Yeah, when you talk about the club being in a bit of trouble, when you walk back in, they were one off the bottom in the Evo Stick South Premier. I've always talked to Dave Anderson about this, about that kind of choosing the right job to go back into. Obviously your association with the club helps, but how tricky is it to go back in knowing that there's reputation on the line too?
Yeah, that's always a tricky thing. And, you know, most managers are judged by the size of their budget, really, in today's game. And obviously the problems have been well documented about the transfer embargo the club's currently under because of the footballing debts that it's accumulated. And all those things make the job a lot harder than it would be. But the fact that I know the club so well and I was there so long, I just felt that it probably gave me a bit of a head start on anybody else who would have took the job on, because you don't have that sort of period where you have to get to know everybody and know how the club works. And I felt that I could bypass that part of it and just get straight into the football and try and get a side together that's going to get off the bottom and start climbing up the league.
Swampy.
Well, good afternoon, Mick.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad at all, thank you. Arsenal at the moment, similar situation, third bottom. Looking at the table in the Evo-Stick South, you've got St. Ives there, Kings Langley and Dorchester. But the thing is, I suppose they're going to be your targets to try and match them. But the bottom half of the table hasn't run away yet, has it? You're still within that touching distance of trying to get back in with them, rather than being a real big chasing pack. You've got an opportunity in the next, you know, three or four games to really make ground upon these teams. Because there's only, think, what, 6 to 8 points between them.
Yeah, I mean, the first target is to win the first game. I mean, I think once we get over that hurdle, I mean, we had a good, decent result in the cup. We drew 2-2 with Moneyfields on Tuesday and lost on penalties. But we were leading 2-1 right up to injury time. And so we could take a few positives from that. But I think the other thing is, with the restructuring of the leagues next year, there's only one down from that league. So if ever there was a time for a club to sort of restructure itself and try and get, you know, back on a firm financial footing, it's probably this season, because, you know, we've just got to make sure we're not on the bottom and we can then hopefully be in a better position moving into next season to try and have a better go at it.
Have you been on the phone, Mick, to all your old friends and said, all right, who can you lend us? What can you sort me out with?
I haven't been off the phone, Caroline, to be honest with you. I've been on the phone every minute of the day, if not talking to the press, I'm talking to players. But it's very difficult with the transfer embargo in place, because it's literally, you can only have 16 registered players, and to bring a player in, you have to deregister a player that you've got. So it's literally one in, one out. So I've got to be very careful that I pick the right players and the players are fully committed and are going to be there week in, week out, because if they're not, it becomes an absolute nightmare trying to register players at the last minute. And
is that the conversation you sat down?
Most difficult.
Have you had that conversation with the players, that the team that you walked in to see? Have you sat down and said, right, who's going to pull their socks up? Who's with us for the graft?
Yeah, I mean, literally, I've had one training session, and obviously we played Saturday and Tuesday, so my second session tonight. But I just said to them, it's not going to be an overnight thing, but I'm looking for gradual improvement, and I'm just looking for them to buy into the way I want to do things and the way I want the team to perform. Some of them, you know, obviously are probably not good enough, because the league doesn't lie, and they haven't won a game yet. They've got 1 point from 10 games. So, you know, there does need to be improvement. But from what I've seen so far, some of them are talented. Some of them are capable of playing that level. But just collectively, the mindset's got to be better. And we've got to try and instill a winning mentality, which is very difficult when you're not winning games. That's the only thing that's going to change that is winning games. And that's the first aim, is to win the first game. And Bishop Stortford on Saturday will be the next game we're focusing on.
Hey, look, all the best, Mick. As someone
Thanks
who's supposed to
much.
Treat Bishop Stortford as a rival, then I'll say that, especially this weekend. But long since gone as rivals for us. But all the best, and we'll catch up with you later in the season.
Yeah, thanks very much. All the best to both of you. Thanks very much.
All the very
Cheers,
best.
Mick.
Good luck.
Mick Catlin going back then to Gosport Borough. And it's kind of with that sense, I know we spoke, Swampy, about Richard Money going to Solihull, but it's that knowing when to blink and is the right time to get back into management that Dave has spoken about so often. That's not what he's doing today, by the way. I think he's well and truly managing the golf course. But, you know, it's in your blood, isn't it? So difficult to walk away.
It is, yeah. And obviously, you're saying he's been at another club pre-season, he's working well, top of the division. And the pull of a club that he has an association with for 9 years sometimes can be a little bit too much. Also, you know, a division above as well, so you can test yourself yet again. And the interesting thing is, I think the beauty of both the Evo-Stick North Premier and South Premier this season is that only one team goes down, and teams are beating each other left, right, and centre. I mean, in the EvoStick Premier Division North this week on Tuesday, I think there was about 40 odd goals. I mean, there were some huge scores, and it's very hard to predict. But as a manager, you want to be working with maybe a chairman that you've known for a long time, a club that you know in ins and outs of. And also an opportunity. The embargo won't help them because of into 16 registered players only. You can't even have that dual registration, I wouldn't have thought, in regards to trying to get a few more players in. But he's got the experience. He's got the quality. As you say, he's been on the phone constantly, and it is in your blood. I mean, I'm sure if the right job came up, even for Dave Anderson, he'd probably take it again because, that's... Because it is in your blood. And we heard from, Tom 15 minutes ago. He's the same, he's not a manager yet, but you can tell that, certain players, they fancy it, trying it out and seeing how it goes. And if you're successful and it breeds confidence, you never want to be out of the game. You're going to spend probably your entire career within football, which is, it's not a bad way to spend a life. It's talking about and involved in football.
I'm blessed, as are you. I think that's what you wanted me to say then. But I was also going to say, there was when we hear Mick talking about transfer embargoes, and there are clubs dotted all over non-league football who still have these financial pressures over their heads. Did you see the story from Nuneaton this week, Nuneaton Town? Tommy Wright, the manager there, came out and said that his players decided to give up a week's wage after they were knocked out by Nantwich. So Nantwich, lower league opposition. Nuneaton in the Vanarama National League North. They've had a bit of a stinker of a start to the season as well, but going out in the third qualifying round match. I know we say as clubs, you should be budgeting for the FA Cup, but essentially what they've done is the players all got together, the managers got together, and they said, all right, there's going to be a bit of a financial gap for the football club as a result of going out so early in the FA Cup. So we're going to give up a week's wage. There's part of that that I love that they've done that. And obviously felt the financial pressures of the club. But there's part of me again that thinks, oh, you've got to stop budgeting for the FA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, listen, clubs do it in different ways. I don't think you should. I mean, let's not forget as well, what people don't realise is you don't get the money till the following season.
No.
You don't get the money up front. You're budgeting based upon going forward for the next season. I mean, only since you say they've had an indifferent start. They're currently 17th in the league on 12 points. They've been draw, lose, win. And the players themselves, I think it'd probably be a response to the supporters more than anything. I think players know themselves when they've let themselves down, perhaps, and the supporters out there that have paid good money to watch them. And it's
a symbolic.
It's a symbolic gesture. They'll be looking now to, with no pressure of. The FA Cup to hold them back to try and get up the division. But at the same time, everybody else is doing that. Those that are in cup competitions, it can breed a good run in the cup and also help your league form as well. So and we know all about that because in 2010 we were third bottom and we got into the second round of the FA Cup and finished in the playoffs. So it's a big thing, the FA Cup. You've got the FA Trophy as well, the FA Vars, and you've got local competitions. But interesting from a player's perspective, recognising that supporters aren't happy, perhaps, and giving their money back to the club. Fair play to them for that.
Yeah, we've drawn chumps and we've drawn Bath in the net. Ha! I actually didn't mean to make that drawn Bath joke. But we have drawn Bath in the next round of the Cup. And again, already... some of our fans saying, you know what, we'll just get through the next one. Keep drawing teams that are lower than us. Bath is going to be one tough game. But they said, let's just draw teams that are lower than us and get through. And Man United in the second round away and we're all done. So we all still dream, don't we? We all still have that.
Look, at this stage now, it's the fourth round, and this is the one that you're thinking, oh no, we just get through this, please, because going to the draw on that Monday. I mean, even if like as we did at the weekend, we drew against County Ridge initially, but it was like, right, who's in the draw? But when it gets to that first round, you're thinking, right, there's league opposition here. There's opportunities for scouts. We know the quality of semi-professional football in the National League all the way going down. And we've got some, you know, Evo Stick teams that are still in the FA Cup, which is absolutely tremendous. South Shields, you know, included, just recently promoted and beating the big guns. But you just look forward to it so much. It's, first round proper. Are you going to be on the television? How are you going to be able to, bring some money into your football club? I mean, we've talked about it till the cows come home here. But football clubs shouldn't have to rely on FA Cup money. They shouldn't have to rely on television money. They should have to rely on the billions of pounds that's within swirling around football and should be filtered down. But we don't live in that world as of yet. In my footballing world, we'd all be equal and players themselves against pretty much like you know yourself in the NFL the way they do it there, but at this moment in time the money comes in, you got to make good use of it, and you can make sure that the following season you can put it to good use and you start again. But yeah, brilliant. I love the FA Cup. It's wonderful, and if anyone's unfortunate to have to listen to my commentary, they'll understand how much I do love it, because it's a bit noisy.
Yeah, I can still hear it in my ears. So that FA Cup was this week, done and dusted. Let's move on then to non-league day, another opportunity to bring attention, to bring money into the clubs that we love as well. Premier League clubs, I mentioned Manchester City, early Championship clubs have been mentioning the non-league fixtures in their local areas that are coming up this weekend. Swampy lit the touch paper last week to get a more cohesive approach going from the national media outlets. And non-league day is certainly something that all levels of the game are now well aware of. Indeed, even FA chairman Greg Clark, he was manhandled by Tim Pugh last week. Tim found out when he caught up with him just how enthusiastic he is about non-league day.
Very lucky to have with me Greg Clark, FA chairman. We're here at non-league ground, Hazen Yedding United, just in an FA Cup game. But we've got non-league day coming ahead October the 7th. How important is non-league day to football as a whole in this country?
Well, without the pyramid, and the non-league pyramid specifically, it would be impossible to maintain the infrastructure of English football. You know, that's where the players come from, coaches, referees, all the administrators, the volunteers. It supports the whole of the game. So to me, it's vital.
And you've been in the role a year, or coming up to a year, and you've made some dramatic changes already, and changing the way that the FA works. Have you got any plans in particular, the way grassroots is going to be addressed, and how football in England is likely to develop in the future?
Yeah, I mean, the management team led by Martin Glenn have done a really good job of changing a lot of things at the FA for the better. One of which is they've got a major new FA Cup deal, which gets us £100 million a year more next year. Our job is to make sure that flows through to the grassroots, more participation fees for the FA Cup, more artificial grass pitches, more facilities, better trained referees, training courses for volunteers, whatever's necessary to grow our game.
And so non-league day, October the 7th, have you picked out your own non-league game to maybe go and watch on that day?
Sadly, I'm not that powerful. I'm told which games to go to. So I'll be told which game to go to and I'll be there.
But any message out there to non-league fans or people that are maybe trying to drag some of their friends along to a non-league game? You had a good afternoon this afternoon. Is it worth coming and watching non-league football?
It's a great day out. You see some great football. You're close to the action. The relationship is much closer between the fans and the team. You know, they're people, not kind of megastars. You know, and I think the atmosphere is second to none. So get down to your local non-league team and have a great day out.
So that was Tim with Greg Clark. This weekend then, various initiatives going down. One club doing it as they have done, though, fully embracing it this season, more than most perhaps, Dulwich Hamlet, the man behind many of the successful ideas that's been involved with the club that gets them through thick and thin. He's been there throughout it. Now development officer, riding a crest of success. Afternoon to Mishy Morris. Hi, Mishy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. How's you then heading up to non-league day? Everywhere I look, you're busy at the moment.
How am I? Nervous, if I'm honest, but hopefully we'll get a huge crowd. The club's taking a gamble as we try to, because obviously we've got to cover our costs and we don't know if one person's going to come through the gate or 1,000. But hopefully if people pay what they like, we're giving the profits to two very good causes, a local charity called the Cobblestone Centre, and also to the local Lambeth and Southwark branch of the mental health charity Mind.
We should roll back a bit. So it's pay what you like then for any fans turning up.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the first time we did that was in 2014, and that was the first time we'd really been at home on non-league day, and we didn't know what to expect then. Our crowds weren't as big, but we got almost 3,000 that day, which was massive. And that was really the catalyst off the pitch for us getting four-figure gates, because throughout the rest of that season, we had 13 more gates of over 1,000. And really, since then, we've never looked back, and we keep on embracing community issues. And our supporters and the local community basically pay us back by coming to cheer us on every week.
But for those that don't know, what's the sort of average crowd then in the league, and how does it compare?
The way I'll give a soundbite is when our manager Gavin Rhodes took over in 2009, our average home league gate was 180. Last season, it was over 1,300. And sometimes we take more than 180 to away games. And as someone who's been a lifelong fan since I was a little kid, I mean, I've been going down there over 43 years, I'm just living the dream. It's amazing.
And very much part of that dream happening too. So I know you said you're nervous for this weekend. Who are you playing? How many then do you hope you'll get?
I just hope we'll get... Who knows? I mean, I don't like to put figures on gates, but if we could get over 2,000, that would be amazing. And we're at home to Needham Market. I've got a long journey down from Suffolk. So hopefully their fans will come down and enjoy it and make a donation as well. And we also do, like we do every game, we do a 50-50 ticket fundraiser, you know, where you pay £1 a ticket, winner takes half the prize. And for that, we're giving the money to Prostate Cancer UK because they're the non-league day partner. But we arrange our pay so far in advance that we didn't manage to include them. So we're giving them money from what we raise from that. So we're raising extra money, raising for three charities, really. It's all part of the fun of the day.
Brilliant. And I know many, many clubs throughout non-league football are doing similar things this weekend. So we hope that everyone gets a bounce in that crowd. When you talk about charity, Mishy, I know that Dulwich have made headlines... pieces, I think, in The Guardian and in The Independent this week too. Playing in the Isthmian League, the betting deal that's been done with the league, the club have decided to give that money to charity. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, first of all, it must be stated that we haven't actually won anything yet. The sponsorship deal was for performances a month, that sort of thing. You know, if we're lucky enough to win anything from that, all we've done is chosen to donate the money to betting partners, not to people who campaign against gambling addiction, that sort of thing, because we're not against any sponsorship per se. You know, we're always supportive of the Isthmian League, especially as it's one of its oldest, in fact, the oldest member of the Isthmian League. But we just feel like the FA, who just turned down a deal with, ended a deal with Ladbrokes, we just don't think it's quite right to be where we as club officials and players and even volunteers aren't allowed to bet on football themselves. We just think there's a slight case of double standards. So we don't think it's quite right for us. And although we're a business like any other football club, if we can make a stand on little things and it helps someone and raises awareness, then we're more than happy to do that. And it's worth noting, we put the message on our website, not to be picked up by the national papers or anything like that. It was simply to keep our fans informed, because this isn't a new thing. We've had this policy for quite a while now, and we do work with local anti-gambling charities. So it's not a new thing for us.
It's, as you say, has been picked up everywhere that we've seen it this week, and just shows, really, actually, the level of support in messages that I've seen on social media for what the club are doing too. I know Swampy wants to ask you a question.
Yeah, it's lovely always to hear you. It's lovely to hear the passion you have for not only the football club, but for social issues. My football club, FC United of Manchester, a fan-owned football club. And, you know, the likes of your club, for people like me, are quite dear to my heart. The question I want to ask is, obviously, you know, a number of years ago, 180 supporters was the average. What has made that massive difference? Is it the social aspects of the football? Is it people getting fed up? of the pricing of Premier League football. What the main factors do you believe for why Dulwich has now got such a great bunch of supporters and great reputation?
Well, you've answered some of it yourself with some of the reasons you hinted at. Obviously, one of the catalysts as well was the great attractive football played under Gavin Rose. But also, it's as simple as reach out to the community and they will respond back. To use a non-football term, any non-league club, we have the product. We just have to get people to sample it. And if they come along and have a great day, they'll come back. And it is as simple as that. You know, for example, when we reach out to local schools, we don't just allow kids in free. We allow kids in free anyway. Any kids under 13, we allow them free anyway. But when we get tickets to primary schools, we target a game for a school. But we allow the adults to come in as well. And clubs don't grasp that because kids won't come alone. They need the adults to come. But the adults won't spend the £10, £11 or £12 on the gate to come to the game with their little ones. So give them a little taster and they've all come back, and so many do. That's why our midweek crowds are so low. I say no, I don't mean that flippantly. Because a lot of our fans are youngsters and families and they can't come midweek because they've got school the next day.
Right, right.
Mishy, I think what you're doing is fantastic. I know we've said that to you many times over the years, but keep doing what you're doing. I really hope those nerves are misplaced and that this weekend you get 3,000 through the gate, that you get the gate that you want and deserve to. Well done on all you're doing and enjoy this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank Good you, luck. Mishy. Mishy and all the team down at Dulwich. And of course, non-league day. I was just, before we came on air, buying my T-shirt that you can get. I don't know if you've got one, Swampy, for this weekend. I've got my prostate cancer badge I'll be wearing. But I was buying a T-shirt, nonleagueday.co.uk. Of course, you're on Twitter as well, nonleagueday.uk. If you still haven't decided, I'm sure you have already, as to where you're going this weekend, the finder's on there. You can click on nonleagueday.co.uk, find where to go, where a game's on near you. Also, you buy those T-shirts, you can get involved. There's hoodies, there's badges, all sorts of things on the website too. So well worth a look. I think you'd look quite dapper in one of those.
Do you think so? No. I think you probably look a lot better, in fairness.
My team are playing at home this weekend. FC United, are you away this weekend or are you at home?
We're actually away. We've been away. It seems we've been away for an eternity when it comes to non-league day. But luckily, we do a lot of other things anyway. So, we would have been embracing it at home. We're away to the bottom club, North Ferriby United, the Villagers. So, going to be an interesting encounter. And again, very welcoming football club. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of things going on at Ferriby for all the supporters. Locality, I think, is Hull, the nearest Premier League team. So hopefully we get a lot of supporters coming down for the afternoon.
Are you surprised at, just briefly touching back on Dulwich, are you surprised at the national take-up that story got about them donating money from, if should they win money from this betting sponsorship to charities supporting those?
I'm not necessarily surprised, because I think, as he says quite rightly, there's such a double standard as far as I'm concerned. If you've got betting companies involved in sport and in football primarily, and managers and players can't bet, the double standard is there. There's a temptation there all the time, you know, with betting companies. And it's good that they're doing work with, gambling addiction organisations, and to donate that money. See, what they're doing, they're sticking to the principles, and there's not enough principles in football. And a club like Dulwich is an example of how you can actually be successful, play entertaining football, and hold on to your principles whilst not compromising your core values. And I think that's got to be commended tremendously. We at FC had something similar recently in regards to betting, whether we would allow betting within the club and so on and so forth. It went to the members. There was a debate about it. There was a vote on it. So again, we were given that opportunity to decide how we want to move forward. And, you know, football clubs and supporters, certainly at the grassroots level and semi-professional football, should all be in a position where they can determine and make sure that their football club is going in the right direction. And testament to Dulwich for doing so, because again, principled, donating money to charity is all very, very good. And they're not doing it for any other reason apart from that's what they believe in. It's not about, look at us, aren't we great? It's about, look, this is what we are as a football club. And that's why they've gone from 180 to, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 supporters watching them, because they have that, you know, that same ethos and same belief, which is fantastic in the modern game. It just shows that we can still do it, you know, community-wise.
Well, if you shush, we'll hear from someone else with principles next. As much as I love hearing from you, I just am nowhere near the fader to ride it down, as it were, and turn you on. Stop. Don't even pick it. No, stop. Let's talk about another match this weekend then. It's the start of the Build-A-Base FA Trophy preliminary round. First of 11 rounds in this season's competition. 276 in it for the chance to compete at non-league finals day on the 20th of May next year, 2018. So this weekend, 128 clubs kick the competition off, and one tie that catches their eye, not least for the team with principles. AFC Rushden and Diamonds take on Kidsgrove Athletic. And delighted to say we can talk to Vice Chair at AFC Rushden and Diamonds, John Ward. Hiya, John.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? Ahead of it's non-league day. It's FA Trophy. It's perfect, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. We're very much looking forward to the day. It's a competition that, as you mentioned, you know, there's a Wembley spot up for grabs. So we'll certainly give it a go and you know, we'll see what happens. We can't wait.
There's so many special moments this weekend. It's the first time that the competition's at Haydon Road, or will have been played at Haydon Road. What's it like being back playing back home this season?
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, the amount of work that went on over the summer to get it up to the right ground grading was phenomenal. You know, I was even down there myself with the paintbrush and getting more on myself than I was on the concrete. But it's been brilliant to get there. We've had some good attendances so far. Be interesting to see what happens tomorrow with the trophy. But just to be there, it's been awesome. And a very different atmosphere, I think. Everyone says it feels like home, which is nice.
Yeah, because many, and it's been well documented, we've covered the story however many times on the show and over the previous years about what happened with the club, about Max Griggs and this huge ground and going back. Do you feel like you are now in control of your destiny? You say it feels very different. Does it feel like you've still got the essence of kind of where you were, but this feels like a step forward, a giant step forward?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we're still sharing a ground with another club. So that's, you know, still not totally in control of our own destiny, if you like, because we're still visitors to their ground, which is very nice of them. But we're back in Rushden, where the majority of our fan base are from, and it's great to see people, you know, walking up from the town rather than having to drive to, you know, an out of town or to a different town. They can, you know, put the beer down and have a walk through from the pub, and it's like I say, it really helps with the atmosphere. I think we found that people came to where we were in Wellingborough, and it was, you know, facilities for the level were quite nice, and they kind of, it wasn't particularly sort of intimidating, whereas this is a bit more sort of intimidating, a bit more sort of enclosed, and I think that really helps with the atmosphere.
Yeah, really at the heart of the community. Swampy?
You know, averaging, what, 498 games in the league, that's got to be impressive for the season for you.
Yeah, we've been really pleased with that. Again, we didn't really know what we were going to get. You know, we, like everyone, you sit down and you do your budget and you put your best guess of what you think it would be based on your historical figures. And we're really pleased with what we, you know, where we are at the minute. It's a difficult time of year because you have your cup competitions, so you have your all-pay fixtures, and they don't always drag people out. And then if you have a good cut run, they do drag loads of people out. So sometimes it doesn't quite really give you a true reflection. But for where we are at the minute, we're over what we expected to have. And, you know, we hope that if we have a good season, that will increase. And, you know, we'll continue to grow by that. There's a lot of people that are down there that haven't been and seen us when we were at Wellingborough. There's a lot of old faces that have come along. So it's great.
Are you doing anything special for non-league day?
No, we're not. Well, apart from obviously encouraging everyone to come down, because it's a trophy game, it's obviously a shared gate. So anything you do, you have to agree with the other club. So at the minute, we don't have anything at this stage. We're trying to encourage everyone on every game basis to come down, really.
Sorry, Swampy, I trod all over you then.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was just going back to, because you were talking about, you know, depending on how the season goes, and that was the question, really. You know, 17 points from 10. What is the aim this season from a football club? Is it playoffs? What's the thought process there?
Well, we'd like to go up. We certainly, if we went up by playoffs, that'd be great. If we went up not by playoffs, that would be even better. So we would like to go up. That would be the aim. But with the new Midland League next year, it's quite important to be able to get up. And we've had a fantastic start. We fingers crossed, we'll keep that. I think it's the best start we've had since our reformation, really. So, really, really pleased with how it's gone. And hopefully we can keep going.
Fantastic.
John, all the best of luck this weekend. Got to love a trophy match as well. So I would say I'd come down, but I'll keep an eye on it. I'll keep an eye on it. My heart, as always, lies in Chelmsford.
Kidsgrove will be a real tough test for her. They beat us 5-2 at home last year, and we sneaked a 1-0 to them. So it'll be a real tough match. But, yeah, do keep an eye on it.
John Ward, as always, a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Vice Chairman at AFC Rushden and Diamonds. Off he goes. And all those trophy matches this weekend then too. This is the best part of the season, Swampy. I know as a manager, I'm not saying you're a manager, although we all like to manage you. This is the part where you've got Brussels fans. And for us talking about it, you've got FA Cup one weekend, trophy next weekend, FA Cup, non-league day. Everything's happening.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And as you say, you know, there's a trip to Wembley available with both the trophy and the... And, you know, I was there last season's finale, and it was fantastic. Every club wants to get to Wembley. This is a great opportunity to do so. And, you've got all the competitions and league games coming thick and fast. It's a great time of the year for smaller clubs, because there's that opportunity of going further and further, and hopefully someone has to get to Wembley, so why can't it be AFC Rushden and Diamonds, or indeed Kingsgrove? I wouldn't want to pick one team up, but who knows? Someone has to be there. Why not be them too?
There's some big matches in the Vanarama National this weekend as well, of course. That I think we'll see. Hopefully see attendances go up across non-league football, but I think we'll see some big gates this weekend. But did you see those quotes from the Leighton Orient captain, David Mooney, this week, saying he's tired of the same old garbage? Six games without a win for Leighton Orient, and finding it tricky, it's fair to say, in that top league.
They are finding it tricky, yeah, and it's, at the top at the moment, I think it's Macclesfield and they're sort of like mid-table, aren't they? And they are struggling. But listen, no one has a divine right to, if they've been relegated, even though they're a league football club, to come into this division or any division and win it. And they are struggling. But I think sometimes it's interesting, though, because from a captain's perspective, to come out and openly be critical. Tom Greaves, actually, a few weeks ago, did exactly the same things about the team, saying the effort wasn't quite there. We need to be better. We need to improve. And, you know, I think sometimes when it's a senior player, the players can respond to it. The supporters like the fact that their man, so to speak, has come out and said something on their behalf, because, you know, supporters will vent their spleen. Managers will very seldom listen to a supporter on the terraces. But when the players themselves may say a few things, it might rile them up a little bit and get them going. But, you know, I'm all for players to be open and honest. There's no point in hiding behind anything. The results are there. So, you know, you can't hide from them. And it's nice that he come out and said what he said.
And it was that latest defeat was 2-1 to Tranmere, who went above Leighton Orient. So, and I think that was Tranmere's third home win of the season. So they're hoping to put a run together too. So there's such big teams in there that have like you say, no one has a divine right to get out of that. But everywhere you look, it's littered with big names who could compete.
It really is. And it's interesting that Macclesfield at the top, you know, they've got a relatively small budget in that division in comparison to most other teams. I'm not even sure if they're full-time. I think they still may be a semi-professional outfit. But they're going to prove you do things in the right way and you work hard. You know, you get your just rewards, but so many big ex-league clubs in that division that are all, you know, full-time, and it makes it very, very difficult to compete. Even in the division below, I think in the National League North that we're in, I think out of the top seven, four, maybe five of those teams are full-time now in our division. So it's very hard to compete, but at the same time, big-name clubs, they want to get back into the what they perceive as, you know, the best place to be, football league. But for me, semi-professional football is where it's at, and it'll always be at.
Well, while I go and answer the door again, it's not knocked. The time has knocked for us. It's been a delight, Swampy. Tim, as always, has been the silent partner this week. I'm sure at one stage we'll hear from him soon, although what he said whilst I walked out the room, Lord only knows. Thank you to Swampy. We'll get Dave back off that golf course and the other Dave Waters soon. But if there's a story you want us to talk about, if there's someone you want us to talk to, you can get in touch at Non-League Show. You can find us on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, wherever you want. And you can even take the podcast and stick it on your own website. Just don't tell me what the website is. Nonleaguefootballshow.com is where you can grab an embeddable player for free. But from all of us, thank you for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA